Well, we thank the Lord this morning for what the Lord has done, what He is doing, and appreciate prayer this morning that God would bless His Word to our hearts, that it would find lodging in us, that it would be a comfort and strength to us. I'd like to start off this morning in the book of Psalms, the 46th chapter. Let's start at verse 1. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. I was thinking about how this verse 10 says, to be still and to know that I am God. I find these words very comforting and encouraging this morning. I think about when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, and how Pharaoh was on hard on their heels, and they were entrapped, and the sea was in front of them, and it looked like they were going to perish according to man's view. But he told them to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And I'm thinking this morning about how important for it is for us as people to, he said here, to be still and know that I am God. You know, it's a challenge to be still. Have you ever felt that? It's a challenge sometimes to be able to still our mind, our thoughts, our fears, our worries, anxieties. And I believe that's what the Lord is saying in this verse, to be still, to be able to quiet and to know that I am God, to be able to commit ourselves, our situation into God's hand and rest in Him, that He will take care of us, that He will provide, that He will see us through the battles of life. To be able to be still and to know that I'm God. There's a lot of unrest in the world today. There's a lot of tribulation. He mentions here about the heathen raging, and He mentions about the earth being removed, the mountains being carried in the midst of the sea, the waters thereof roar and be troubled. A lot of commotion, a lot of unrest. In Luke, the 21st chapter, I'm going to get another verse. And verse 25, it said, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring." I wrote down in my Bible here, civil unrest. You know, it's just not literal waves that he's talking about on the waters of the oceans, but it's talking about turmoil, civil unrest. It said, "Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heaven shall be shaken." A lot of unrest, and I believe we can say that's true in our day, in our time. There's a lot of turmoil, a lot of waves roaring, a lot of mountains being moved. And it's so important for us, I believe, more probably than any other time in our world today, is that we're able to steel our hearts amidst all of that turmoil, amidst all the confusion and all the things that we see around about us, to be able to steel our heart and our spirit before God, and to know that God is God. To know that He is in control. To know that He will see us through. To have confidence in Him that He will help us through the battles of life, the temptations of life, and the things that come our way. Sometimes things can happen so unexpectedly, out of nowhere, so to speak. But to be able to steel our hearts at those times and to trust and look up to God and to know. I thought about the battle. You remember when the Assyrians were coming against the children of Israel? And the king answered, the king told them and instructed them, "Don't say a word. Don't answer a word. Just be quiet." He told them to be not to give any answers, not to reply, not to converse. And here the king came and he made all these accusations and he told everything that he was going to do. And he did do a lot of things. There was a lot of things that he had already done. But the people just answered him not a word. They just kept still. They kept quiet. And I believe they had an expectation of the Lord. They were looking up in their hearts to God. And Hezekiah went and spread the letters before the Lord. And he said, "Lord, you see the trouble. And a beautiful thing to me for the king to go in and bow before the God of heaven and put the letters." And I believe it's a beautiful thing too when we take our burdens and our cares and concerns, and we're able to lay them at the feet of Jesus, and just like Hezekiah did, saying, "Lord, you know the trouble, you know the devil's been working, you know the circumstances and situations," and to be able to be still and commit it to God. And it says to know, "Be still and know that I am God." You know, there's another scripture I want to get in Isaiah the 30th chapter. In verse 15, it says, "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. You know, I think about this returning and rest. He said, shall you be saved? And it's not so much that we've just totally forsaken the Lord and we're going our own direction, but sometimes we've got to return to faith. Sometimes we got to return to getting our eyes upon the Lord and our eyes off of our circumstances, our eyes off of our situation, and get our eyes back on the Lord. But he said, in returning and rest shall you be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. But ye said, no, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, at the rebuke of five shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain and as an inside on a hill. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. I'm so thankful that we're serving a merciful, a patient, heavenly Father. You know, sometimes when we see our difficulties, we do exactly what these people did. We begin to flee. We begin to think. We begin to try to figure out. We begin to try to row our boat a little harder. We try to put a little more effort into it until we get wore out, until we expend our resources. And you know, I believe the Lord lets us do that. He lets us expend our resources because He wants us to know that we're not going to be saved by our works, by what we have done, by our efforts, by our valiantry, but we're going to be saved through His name and through His help. Sometimes we do the very same thing. But He's telling them, you know, He said, but ye said, they're saying in their hearts, no, we're going to flee upon horses. We got something we're going to do. But He told them, He said, it's not going to profit. It's not going to work. And I believe He tells us the same, and He wants to teach us the same lesson in our lives, that your efforts are not going to cut it. They're not going to make it. And He said, He goes on and said, and therefore will the Lord wait, that He may be gracious unto you. The Lord's going to let you flee upon your horses. He's going to let you do what you're going to do, what you got in your mind to do. The Lord is going to let you do it until you come to the point to where you recognize, I can't do it. And you come back to the Lord and you said, would you please help me? In verse 7 of this chapter, verse 6, it says, the burden of the beasts of the south into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and old lion, the viper and the fiery flying serpent. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses, and their treasures upon the bunches of camels, to a people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this, their strength is to sit still. That is so hard for us as humans to do. That's so hard for us to do. You know, these little children that are so, have so much energy in them, and they're just biting a bit sometimes, and you try to talk to them and it's like, whew, because they're so full of energy. They're just ready to go and ready to do. But you got to look them in the eye and you got to say, be still. Listen. Stop. Listen to what I'm saying. The Lord has to do that to us too. He wants us to be able to still our hearts, still our minds, and return to faith, return to hope in God, return to trust in Him, and not what we are able to do. I thank the Lord. Another scripture, Isaiah, the 51st. Well, I want to get chapter 32 also. It's a good verse. And 17, it says, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. My people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and sure dwellings and in quiet resting places." You believe the Lord can give that to us? I believe He can. If we're willing to still ourselves before Him, wait upon Him, the Lord can speak and help us. The effect of righteousness. The effect of waiting upon God shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. You know, when the Holy Spirit begins to move upon the circumstances, the trial, whatever it might be, when the Holy Spirit begins to work, I believe that's the effect. That's what it does. It can bring a calmness. It can bring quietness, assurance in our heart. The Holy Spirit doesn't... He knows exactly what's needed. Here in Isaiah, the 51st chapter, He said, "I, even I, am He that comforteth you." Isaiah 51 and verse 12. "Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the son of man which shall be made as grass, and forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that has stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy?" And where is the fury of the oppressor? You know, when we're in camp meeting, things go pretty good. Seems like we're reminded and strengthened about the power of the Lord and what God is able to do. But then life happens. The battle comes, the enemy comes, sometimes in like a flood. And it says, we forget the Lord thy Maker. Lord, help us today to remember the Lord, to remember what He's done in the past, how He's helped us out in the past, the difficulties that He's seen us through, the grace that He's given to help us through. He's able to do the same today and in the future. The things that are out in front of us, the Lord is able to help us through those as well. He's able to see us through. He's able to keep us in those times. And I'm thankful today. I think about the disciples when they were on the water, and Peter, you know, the trouble and the waves roaring, and how, and Jesus mentioned that. He said, "O ye of little faith. O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? You know, part of our steeling our hearts is quieting those doubts. And I believe this morning. I believe that our faith is not, doesn't have to be according to our feelings or according to our emotions, but I believe it can be a choice that we make, a decision that we make. My feelings may be up and down, my emotions may be up and down, and but we can make a conscious decision that I am going to put my eyes upon the Lord. I'm going to quiet my fears and my doubts, and I'm going to put my trust in God and seek the Lord. And I believe the Lord honors that. It's a choice. It's a decision. It's a that we have to make when the waves come and the decisions and the things are transpiring around about us. It's a choice. I'm going to keep my eyes upon the Lord. I'm going to quiet. I'm going to be still. I want to quiet my fears and calm myself. I'm going to be still. And when we get still, it says we can know that He is God. We know. When we still ourselves and we allow the Lord to work, sometimes stilling ourselves means committing and surrendering our situation into God's hands. Surrendering our situation, our circumstance into God's hands, sometimes that's bringing a stillness. And there's a song, "Oh, Be Still, Thou Soul of Mine." I'll confess to you, I have probably sung this song hundreds of times to myself to steel my heart. Oh, be still, thou soul of mine, thou art not forsaken. The feelings and the circumstances sometimes make us feel like we're forgotten, that we've been forsaken. That's what our feelings tell us. But this brother encouraged himself, and I'm thankful. I know the story behind this. I won't go into all that, but I'm thankful that the Lord inspired this song. The powers of the sin may rage, thou shalt be unshaken. He who gave His life for thee thus permits that thou shouldst be for thy good, as thou shalt see, tempted for a season. Verse 3, he says, why shouldst thou so fearful be at the tempter's roaring? Simply trust in God alone, Satan's wrath ignoring. You remember in Pilgrim's Progress, Christian, the pathway led, there was two lions on each side of the pathway. And Pilgrim had to go, Christian had to go. That's where the path led, right in between. But the lions were changed. They were chained. They could only get so close. That would have been a tough and difficult test. But he went through, and the lions didn't harm him. It looked like they were going to harm him. You know, the Lord has grace that we haven't tapped We haven't exhausted, maybe I should put it that way, we have not exhausted the grace of God and what He's able to work in our lives, in our hearts. Sometimes the Lord is not going to actually remove the trial, so to speak, but He'll give us grace to go through. He'll give us strength to be what He wants us to be in the midst of the trial. I read a sign this morning on the way. I've seen it different times, and it's a roofing company. And it says, after the storm, we're here. You know, in other words, we'll take care of your roof. A tornado, a hailstorm comes. It says, after the storm, we're here. We need someone during the storm. The Lord will be there during the storm. I'm thankful today to have one that promised to be there, not after the storm, but during the storm. During the storm. When the waves are roaring and the wind is blowing. Yes, dear Lord, in the last verse, He said, I will be still. I will trust Thee ever. I'll submit to all Thy will, cling to Thee forever. We have to be careful when we, you know, there in Isaiah said, we're going to flee on horses. We've got to be careful that we're not resisting and running against God's will in our lives, what He wants for us in our lives. I believe the Lord wants to teach us some valuable lessons, and many times the only way we get them is going through the storm, the difficulty. He said here, I'll submit to all Thy will. Cling to Thee forever. Lord, Thou knowest what is best. Don't we have to trust God that way? I don't know what's best. I don't know what I need. I don't know what we need. We just have to trust that God will allow those things and help us to receive the lessons that He has for us. I believe that the Lord does know what's best. He knows what we need to help us to make heaven our home. It says, confident in this I'll rest, till I dwell with all the blessed and with Thee in heaven. So if you ever have a stormy mind, a stormy heart, stormy spirit, I encourage you to read the words of this song and sing it. O be still, thou soul of mine, thou art not forsaken. I remember, I've told this before, but when we lived in Jefferson, I was under a lot of stress. And we bought a house. We were trying to fix it up to resell, to make money. And it was a financial drain on us. I worked on that house. I worked hours and hours. We were struggling to make ends meet. And my wife spoke up to me and she said, let's go camping. And am I hearing you correctly? Oh, I thought to myself, you see all these bills? My thought was I had to work harder. That wasn't the right answer. Anyway, I consented to go, and when we got there, I was just exhausted mentally, physically, spiritually. And I remember I just sat down in the chair. We got there towards the evening, and I sat down in the folding chair, and all my children started getting out the stuff, and they started putting up the tent, and they started cooking food. And I felt in my spirit like these springs. That's what I just felt like. I was so wound up so tight, and I didn't realize it. You know, stress has a way of coming gradually and getting us under a strain, and we don't realize that we're under it. We don't realize sometimes where we're at. We just sometimes think, well, I've got to work harder. The Lord's not running a slave. He's not running a slave market. He doesn't treat His people like the children of Israel were treated by the Egyptians, with a whip. Produce the same amount of bricks, and we're going to cut down the hay and cut down the other resources, but we want the same amount of... The Lord is not a slave driver. But I felt these springs, it just like inside began to unwind inside of me. And we were there for, I think it was about 3 days. We took a hike. I think it was like a 4 mile hike one way and a 4 mile hike. But we went and we came over the crest and we saw Mount Jefferson. And Mount Jefferson means a lot to me. The beauty. When we came over this crest, you could see the whole mountain. And it wasn't like you were in just woods and you couldn't see nothing. It was big, open expanse of space. You could see all of Mount Jefferson. And there was this little pond down there. And we went down to the pond and we picnicked. We swam. The water was so cold, but it was refreshing. And it was like we had the whole place to ourselves. It was like it was the Lord's backyard. But when I came back, the trial was still there. But I was renewed in my heart and in my spirit. I was ready to face. We need those quiet times. We need those times in our busy world, our busy life. We've got to have quiet times of refreshing, quiet places, springs, where we can be refreshed in our heart, in our spirit. I believe the Lord, you know, there's people have had nervous breakdowns. Those are real. Stress, men's hearts failing them for fear of those things that come upon the earth. In our environment, we need quiet times, still times, where we stop activity, where we stop the working of our mind, where we quiet ourselves before God, and we ask the Lord to visit us and to renew us in our strength. It said their strength was to sit still. Their strength was to be quiet. And I believe the Lord will meet us when we do these things, when we quiet our hearts. I believe God will be there to intervene, to undertake, and to help us. Thank you for your attention this morning.